Well, God is great and greatly to be praised. Now, you remember that there's two things God wants. Put these two chairs there. One, worship. The other, love your neighbor. So those are the two things, and you can't do either of them. Those are two things, the only two things. He's only asking for two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. It's so simple. But you can't do it. It's impossible to do it without God. But with God, you can do all things. With God, you can do all things. But He gave you something that He knew you couldn't do. He knew that nobody could ever do those two things. Worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might or your strength or your mind, or in other words, everything spirit, soul, and body. Everything about you should worship God. In other words, you have no self-love. So you give yourself over to God completely. And then a second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, God wants the worship. That's vertical. But your neighbor needs your love. That's horizontal. So there it is. Summed up. So simple and impossible. So God deliberately did that, so that you'd be dependent upon Him every minute of every second of every day to be able to do what He wanted you to do. Because apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Not a thing. So don't ever beat yourself up for failing to be holy. Because you cannot be holy apart from God. And when you're connected to God, you're not the one. The lamp, if it isn't plugged into the wall, cannot light. So you don't have any light or life or joy or peace, or you don't have anything in you until somebody plugs you in. And the lamp can't do it itself. So somebody has to plug you into the outlet. And that's the power of the Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of God's holiness operating, acting in, well, first of all, to, and then in and through you. So, first of all, He does it for you, toward you. You're the first beneficiary. And then you worship God because of that. First of all, He loves you first. He loves you first. He's the first one that loves you. And then you can worship Him and thank Him and praise Him and adore Him. And then you can love your neighbor as yourself. Now, since there's so little of it going on, amen, it indicates that God has failed. No. Well, let's see. Who's left? So, since God hasn't failed and He swore an oath that the good work He began in you, He would surely complete. Amen? Yes. All right. I want to read. I've got two messages inside of me, but I'm only going to give one, but it's going to be the same one. Yeah. I could start anywhere. Anywhere. But this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to teach. So let's turn to John 14. John 14. I'm gonna say something weird, but it's on tape, so you get the tape if you want. The Comforter sent the Comforter to send the Comforter. The Comforter sent the Comforter to send the Comforter. Yeah. I didn't read that anywhere. I'm just saying that's what it is. God is the Father of all comfort. That's in the Bible. So God the Father is a comforter that sends God the Son, who is a comforter, and that comforter sends another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So now you have the Spirit of the living God every day operating, working inside of you, faith active in love. So it all makes sense. So Willis, test time. Test time. What are the two things that God wants? Think of one of them. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's called worship. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's called worship. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's called loving all mankind, including the ones that are not kind. Even man unkind. But yeah, you can't do that without God. But you can't do any of it. Unless God first loves us, we can't love others. So, when you're plugged in to the outlet, you can't do it yourself. The lamp never reaches out and plugs itself in. But when you're plugged in to the outlet, somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to do that. Then the lamp turns on. And so that is the first time you have the Spirit of God, you have the power of God, you have the presence of God working in you, and the lamp didn't produce that. No lamp can light up unless it's plugged in. Right? You're the branch, he's the vine. You're the tree trunk, whatever. He's the tree, and you're the vine. He's the tree of life. If you eat of your own tree, or if you eat of human nature, you can't make it. So everything God has ever said to you is impossible. Except the promise he made that the good work he began in you, he would surely complete. Now, one of the things that he did when he made all mankind was he created him in the image and likeness of God. Betzalemnu ketamutnu, Genesis 1:26. Be is in, and then Salem is image, and nu on the end of it. It's all one word. That means our, in our image. So God created each of us in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our image. Clear? So since you're made in the image and likeness of God, you don't look like a rabbit. You don't look like a stick. You look like God. And so, but then that wasn't enough. That's just his signature. You look like me. So now, just because you look like your father doesn't mean you'll act like his father. So he also created us in the likeness, kedamutnu. Ke, the K-E on the beginning of that word, means having the capacity to think like he thinks, to act like he acts, to decide like he decides, to be free. And since now you can make decisions and carry them out, you're like God. So all he's asked of us is worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor and yourself. So simple. In fact, this one is really the key to this one. So this is the fruit of this one. So there's really only one commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and don't have any other gods before him. Put him first. So why? Because he first loved us. He first loved us. And now that he did that, you're plugged in. But man lost that image and likeness from the beginning. You remember that? You remember how that started out? You had the image, you had the likeness, you looked like God, and then you were supposed to. No force. God never forces good. God never forces what's right. God never forces what's true. God never forces what's just. Never forces anything good. In fact, God never forces anything. That's kind of interesting. Because man forces everything. Yes. And we even force ourselves to behave. We suppress our flesh. Because otherwise we'd be mean and nasty and wouldn't put on deodorant. But God, he just a natural, cool guy. And he just believes that he could just say a word and it would happen. So that's a pretty good capacity.
If you knew who you were, you could do what you are. Or what you were created to be originally, to worship God and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And since the neighborhood is full of bad guys, I don't know if you've noticed, and you're one of them. Since the neighborhood is full of bad guys, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but most people marry people. I don't know if you've taken that observation, that people tend to, in fact, most sinners tend to marry sinners. Like 100%. Have you ever noticed that? That the person you marry is actually a sinner. They're not perfect at all. They're not worshipers of God, and they're not lovers of mankind. So you have two sinners together. That makes sin cubed. I mean, that increases the violence. Amen? Isn't that fun? Don't you see how God... Now listen, Buddha can't do this. Allah can't do this. But our God can do this. He can actually work with sinners. And without any morality, without any trying your best, man in his best state, man trying to be decent and kind and nice, without any of that, which is all nonsense, it's all violent, it all goes against your natural flesh. Because there's no natural goodness in you. Amen. Now, there's a little command written on you, because God owns you, that you should look like him and act like him. But, of course, nobody ever did it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And even man at his best state, when you're really nice. You know, and I think most young girls try to find a husband or a man in their life that's kind of dependable and nice. How foolish can girls be that do that? I know that girls can't think because they tend to marry men. I don't blame the lesbians. They're smart. They try to marry other women. And they do that because they're smart. Don't marry a man. Because you can't, I don't know if you've noticed it, you cannot control a man. They're uncontrollable. Have you ever noticed that? Has anybody ever noticed that? Can we tell the truth here? Can we not be honest? People are just people. But God created them to look like him and then act like him. But nobody ever has. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yahoo! That was the glory by which you were created. Betzalemnu kadamutnu. And the reason God did that is because he put his signature on you. This one's mine. I own this one. I can govern this one. I can judge this one. I can correct this one. I can perfect this one. I can marry this one. I can give all my inheritance to this one. So that was his plan. But since he doesn't force, and he gave us free will, everybody in this room actually chose to be rebellious against God's program. I didn't know it, Pastor. If I'd only known, I would have done better. How sweet. That is very nice. I'm sure God appreciates that. Maybe you didn't do it, but you wanted to do it. Could it be that you're a liar? Could it be that you've just deceived yourself? Just because you know what is right doesn't mean you'd want to do what is right. And it doesn't mean if you wanted to do what is right, you'd be able to do what is right. The whole modern world, the whole intelligent, civilized, enlightened world believes that lie. That if you only knew that smoking was wrong, you wouldn't want to do it. And if you wouldn't want to do it, you wouldn't do it. Because after all, if you don't want to do it, you wouldn't have to do it, so you wouldn't do it. Nonsense. Just because, man doesn't even know what is right. So how could you teach someone else what is right and wrong? Everyone tries. But just because you teach someone what you think is right doesn't mean God thinks it is. For example, God loves sinners. Whoever would have thought that was right? A holy God loves unholy people. Now that is weird. So you'd have to have that revealed by God from this Bible. Because he's hidden a lot of things you don't even know about. Did you know he knows stuff you don't know? I mean, he knows stuff about this world we don't even know. I mean, he knows stuff about what's on the bottom of the ocean. I mean, there are little fish down there with lights on them. I mean, there's all kinds of weird things you've never seen. You don't even know about it. There are things inside the earth people don't even know. God knows everything. He knows everything about your body. He knows every molecule. He knows that every cell has at least 27 computer systems inside of each cell. And that if you just remove one of them, the other 25 wouldn't work. So they all had to be created at the same exact moment. No evolution. This is just the smallest cell. And your whole body's made up of all kinds of cells. So if everything is created in such a way that it's entropic, it'll fall apart. The systems will decay. I don't know if you've noticed this. Things rust. People rust. Well, they don't rust, but they fall apart. Have anybody noticed that? Your teeth start to go, and your hearing starts to go. You know, all kinds of things. Your hair falls out. Has anybody noticed that? And so, from the moment you're born, you're on your path to death. Now, I'm going to say something weird. The reason you were born again was so you could die. And as soon as you die, God resurrects you. You can't resurrect yourself. You can agree to die, but you can't really kill yourself. I don't know if you noticed that too. And so even though you're born again, you're only born again so that you can die, so that you can rise, so that you can reign, so that you can rule forever. So God has this program: worship me with all your heart and soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and nobody's ever done it. So God is absolutely silly to imagine that just because he owns people and wrote his signature on them and said, "You're mine," and so on and so forth, and he's going to judge us and call us to account someday. How'd you do? How will you answer? Yep, did everything you said. Yep. Glory. How many know we never did? At no time. Until you're plugged into the wall, the lamp doesn't give off light. There's light, there's light. This world needs this kind of light. It's a dark world. It needs people that are good, but not humanly good. Not just nice people. Not just suppressed people. Not just people with violence forcing their flesh to behave. We do that with little kids. We teach them that in school. Sit up straight. You know, write your name at the top of the right-hand corner. I don't know which one's right. And so little kids learn to be civilized. You know what? It doesn't work. I don't know if there are any teachers here, but it doesn't work. There's always one or two that just aren't civilized. No matter how much civilization you stack on top of them, they still are stubborn. Bonnie, have you ever noticed that? Margaret, have you ever noticed that? You have to beat it into them. Margaret is a very good teacher. I know she is. Because she's tough. Sit down. Yeah, she's good. I taught her that. I taught her that when she was little. Don't talk. I was a good dad. Because I just broke her. I broke all the kids. I broke them all. Mother was more loving and kind and so on. But actually, Mother's the meanest one of the two. She is mean. Peggy, where are you? There she is. Mother is the meanest, actually. And the kids learned that as they went through. Because I sounded tough, but actually, I was a pushover. Because I loved my kids, right? So I gave them a law that they couldn't do, just like God gave us a law we couldn't do. In order that I could show mercy to them, which they didn't believe. No way. I know Margaret didn't believe that when she was 21, I'd just let her go and go along with anything she wanted to do. Because I was always on her case. You don't do that. I don't agree with that. But I remember that day vividly, Mark. I remember right where we were. It was powerful. And she realized in a flash after 21 years, Dad's totally on my side. And all that other stuff was baloney. All that other stuff about behave yourself, don't do this and do this and so on, it was all nothing. Did you know that God never wanted anyone to obey? Did you know that God wrote this whole book and 3/4 of it all about, you know, keep my laws and don't break them? And in other words, do good, don't do bad. And did you know that in the Bible the word repent keeps coming up over and over again? And did you know that the word repent doesn't mean what you think repent means? It means the opposite of what you think it means. So what do you think it means? Repent. You know, behave. Stop doing bad. Start doing good. Doesn't mean that at all. Naham, Hebrew Old Testament. I want you all to say it because I want you to know a little bit of Hebrew. No. Naham. You got to get the ch. If you don't get that, you miss it. It's not Naham. It's Naham. All right, try it again. Oh, good. Very good people. You have good Hebrew. Now, Naham actually means to be set free. Isn't that interesting? Naham means comfort, comfort ye my people. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Naham is what happened when Esther, Queen Esther, the festival of Purim, when Esther saw that her people were finally at rest, at peace, comforted. And that word is the same as repent. Naham. So, Naham doesn't mean what you think it means, change your mind. It means change your mind in this sense. That stop thinking God is mad at you because you didn't do what He wanted. And start thinking that whatever He wants, let Him do it. For you, through Jesus. In you, through Jesus. And through you, through Jesus. So in other words, He just plugs you into the outlet. You remember Jesus came? And when He came, it said that He was filled from the womb with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say that. It said with the Spirit of holiness, which is, of course, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. But it's a little different. It doesn't mean you got, you know, you swallowed the dove or something. It means actually that you, who have no capacity to do this whatsoever, like a lamp unplugged from the wall, has no ability to shine. But once you are plugged in to God, once you are plugged in, you have a relationship with God. That's how you do it. You plug it into the wall. It bears fruit. It does something. It accomplishes something. Your identity is not lamp. Your identity is lamp with cord plugged in to wall outlet. You see, that's a relationship. In other words, it isn't just lamp. I mean, no, a lamp, and you call it, I want to buy that lamp. I need some light. But the lamp itself has no light. You take it home, it's not light up. It's not until you get that plugged in. So you are not to perform for God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and neighbor as yourself. You're not to perform for God. You're to have a relationship with God. Once you have a relationship with God, you have a new identity. You're no longer you. You're God in you. You're God for you. You're God through you. In other words, God dwells in His people. God likes to inhabit His people. God likes to be tied in with His people so that you have all His capacity. That's what fathers do for sons. They like them, not only to look like them, but to act like them. And therefore, the father has to spend time with his sons or daughters or whatever. Or wife. Because That's the only way you can become like. Amen? So the best is yet to come. How many know now that you're born again, filled with the Spirit? Well, getting a little bit filled with the Spirit every once in a while. Every once in a while somebody plugs in. And you're able to walk as a lover to mankind. Not just worship God, but also mankind. And the only reason we worship God is to thank Him.
Amen.
Praise Him. Adore Him. Why? Because he's the one that made the offer. I want to marry you. And you go, yeah, okay. How much money do you have? How many know God is rich? That guy is rich. That guy is loaded. And he's handsome. God is handsome. I don't know if you've ever seen God. But he's actually nice looking. He does not look contorted. He's beautiful. And so God, who is beauty, incredible beauty, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. You know that true beauty is inward. Did you hear what I just said? You could be ugly on the outside, but beautiful on the inside. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is the true beauty of Esther. Not just that she was pretty, you know, the prettiest girl of the realm. Her beauty was inward. There was something that the king noticed in her. Vashti, after all, was beautiful. The wife that he had as the first queen. But she was rebellious and, you know, heart. He didn't like her. But it wasn't because she wasn't beautiful. So he set up a beauty contest, but the beauty he was looking for, and he didn't even know that, was inward, not outward. To have a wife that actually would reflect and cause him to know who he was. And she did. She had wisdom he didn't have. She knew a God he didn't know. She had value that was way beyond outer beauty. And the church today is too much caught up in big and great and awesome and so on. But it's okay. Not mad at that. But the truth is, there's nothing wrong with wanting everything in this world. As a matter of fact, God promised that to you. He just said it this way. He reversed it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll give you everything else. Everything the Gentiles seek, He'll give you that. Just give it to you. He doesn't care that you have 15 mansions or, you know, lots of beauty or whatever. He doesn't care about that. What He cares about is that's all you care about. So He's the source. You got to be plugged in. Otherwise, your lamp will go out. Sooner or later, lamps go out. So He built that in, that the natural will come to an end someday. The natural world is just going to come to an end. Boop. Entropy will set in, overcome all of the, you know, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Thermodynamic, blah, 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 blah. But sooner or later, everything just decays. How many know the world is not yet done? It's not over. The best has been saved to the last. Now, Jesus Himself, forget us. Jesus Himself was the first comforter that God, the Father of all comfort, Isaiah 63, the Father of all comfort, sent Jesus to comfort us. You remember what I said comfort is? It means repent, change your mind. You got the wrong picture of God. You don't understand yourself. You don't know who you are. You don't know what this world is. You don't know nothing. Because everything that you know is only partial, uncertain, not full, not complete, not final. So everything that man knows is not enough to get you into heaven. It's not enough to relate you to the living God. Your light is actually darkness. Your wisdom is actually foolishness. So God wants you to know that He wants to love you. God, the only reason God created you was so He could fall in love with you later and marry you. Isn't that funny? That God's biggest idea, my biggest idea in the whole creation was not to invent a cure for cancer and so on. His biggest thing was, I like to get married to my people. And even though we all rebelled against Him, He said, I still like that girl. Amen? How many know that He likes sinners? It's the only God that does. Allah does not. They'll chop your head off if you're a sinner. Or if you don't follow their way. They force. They put religion and violence together. Ours is the only peaceful religion. You don't have to sit on nails. You know, you don't have to ring little bells. You don't have to have candles. You don't have to have anything. With God, you can just be a completely lost soul. And He loves you for no reason at all. God loves Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
Not Al-Qaeda as Al-Qaeda, but just the people. He doesn't care. He actually says, love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. I tell you, that would be a true Christian plugged into the outlet. Amen?
Amen.
So, this truth that I'm telling you is not my truth. I just copy all this stuff, plagiarize everything. It's in the Bible. And people pay me. I don't know why. They just, you know, it's just silly. I get paid for that. It's awesome. It's just 1 hour a week. Get paid as though I worked 40. That's funny. Keep it up. I mean, that's good. It's a good deal for me. I love this job. It's great. And I'm having a good time. How many know that God always wanted you to have a good time?
Amen.
All the time. Do you know that He created you for happiness? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Did you know that God wants everyone to be happy? You know the only reason He's mad at Al-Qaeda, the only reason He's mad at them, is because He wants them to have the same plugged in to the wall outlet spirit of the living God so they could be happy all the time and give Him thanks and give Him praise so that they could then love their neighbor as themselves because they don't need any more violence. Because I tell you what, being violent actually is a lot of labor. It really is. To control people, has anyone here ever tried to control your husband, for example, your children, the dog? Dogs are better than cats. But it's very hard. The only way we can control a cat at all is to feed it, keep feeding it. And we had to even change the food last week. And now she's hungry again and eating again. It's good. She just wants her way. And so she doesn't like the fish variety. Now we're giving her, what, meat variety or something else. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. We just changed the cat food and she's happy. But the only reason that cat is happy, it'll just stay right around the house all the time. Every once in a while it wanders off, but it'll always come back. And get that food thing. But that's about it. And the only other good thing she does is put hair all over your pant leg. She just loves to come right around you and do that. I don't know why. I've told her many times, stop that. Do not do that. But she has no sense of humor. Now, so you cannot control anybody. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
God doesn't want you to. Relax. Repent. Be comforted. Be free. Comfort yourself. Show comfort to others as God has comforted you. God only has one purpose in this world, and I'm telling you what it is. He wants you to have everything He has. He wants you to be in relationship to Him at all times. He wants you to depend upon Him for everything. Now, here's something funny about God that makes people misunderstand Him. It's not bad to be misunderstood. How many know that you are misunderstood? Do you know that most people don't know how great you are? I mean, they don't. They just don't have a clue. And you're right there. And they're looking around, just passing over you. Anyone here, you know. And they just don't notice how great I am. Anyway, God wants to afflict you. This is weird. So that He can then comfort you. He always does. Anything that He loves, He always afflicts. The father that loves his son chastens him. It's just part of the training. So if you're afflicted, and I'm going to, just a guess, it's a guess. I'm going to guess that one or two of you have been afflicted by God this very day. With every eye closed and every head bowed, could you just raise your hand so I can see if anyone here has ever been afflicted? Yeah. I knew you would keep your eyes open. And so God will have to afflict you again. No. And so God only afflicts so that He can heal. As a matter of fact, it says in the Bible that God is afflicted with all your affliction. When you're afflicted, He's afflicted. When you mourn, He mourns with your mourning. I don't know if you know that verse. God actually enters in. In other words, anybody who's missing something, who's not happy all the time, God cares. What is man that thou art mindful of him. Why is God always thinking about us? All his thoughts to us are thoughts of
peace.
He's always thinking of how to bless you, make you happy. Al-Qaeda included. He likes ISIS. He likes those people. Doesn't like ISIS itself. You know why he doesn't like ISIS itself? It's because those people are not happy. And the thing he doesn't like about it is when you follow a false religion, an idol, a nothing. When you follow a religion or a philosophy or a truth or whatever, that isn't the true truth, it won't lead you to happiness. But if you follow the truth, it'll set you free. It'll comfort you. Those that are afflicted, anyone who's afflicted, anywhere, God is right there. That's the God of comfort. That is the God who sent Jesus, who then would forgive all your sins, who then could transform you, renew you every day until you're perfected, so that he could marry you and give you all his inheritance. So that you'd have everything in heaven and on earth. Not only happiness here, not only safety here, but happiness forever and safety forever. And ever. And ever. I don't know. So the only thing he doesn't like about Buddhism is it doesn't lead to that. It's not practical in the next world, nor in this. But he's not mad that anybody sins against him. He does not hate it that you hate him. He does not hate it that you go your own way. Even though he told you not to, he just did that so you'd realize you can't not do what you do. I mean, if he says not to do something, you're going to do it. Even if you don't do it outwardly, you'll do it inwardly. Well, I wonder why I can't do that. How many know if you tell a little kid, don't lie? If you tell a little kid, I don't want you to have a tattoo. I don't care what you tell someone not to do. The next thought they have is, I'm going to do it. And they don't even know the word you use, but they're going to find out what it is and then do it. And don't be lascivious, or whatever that means. I'm going to look that up. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? There are big words in there, and you don't even know what they mean. And you don't want to because you probably did it. But you should find out what it means. And you found out, oh, I do that. I do that. Everything God said not to do is exactly what your flesh wants to do. Everything that God said not to do, don't do that, is something that you want to do. And you will do it outwardly or inwardly or both. That's just the way it is. Now, God doesn't care. He just sent Jesus. Jesus, take care of that. You die for all them. You die for all the sins. We have the only God in the world, who loves sinners. There's no other religion that loves sinners. If you don't become a Muslim, they just chop your head off. And they give you a little choice, Muslim or chop head. Chop head. they gave you a choice. But they like the force stuff. It's good to be a Muslim in their eyes. So therefore, I'm going to force you. Because it's always good to force what's good. Only God doesn't. Never. 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 So God gave you freedom. You all have freedom because that's the way he created you. Because he had freedom. So now you have freedom. He could make a decision and then he could do it. So now you can make a decision and do it. But the decisions you make are always the wrong decisions. Anytime you do something, it's not going to be perfected. This is what he wants you to do right here. Worship God. Don't have any other gods before me. We got a bunch of other gods before him, including ourselves. We got all kinds of gods ahead of God. He doesn't care that you have a lot of gods. Just don't have them before him. Let him be the God of all gods. Just so he's the last word, the final word. God. That's just a little jealous part there on God. And so God is zealous and jealous that you do everything he said. It'll lead to happiness, joy, peace, heaven on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. I mean, no, we are that. That's who we are. That's what he created us to be originally. Now that we're born again, plugged into the outlet, we actually can do everything he wants. Amen. We can do everything he wants. Now, could I have somebody here say, I can do everything God wants.
I can do everything God wants in Christ.
In Christ. Yeah, plugged in. Because you can't do it apart from him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, you can do all. What is he talking about? He means all things that are real, that are good, that are true, that are right, that are just. Those are the things that actually this world doesn't have. That's why you're the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world, not Muslims. So, will they like me if I say that? No, of course not. Will they try to make that a hate crime? Of course. Will the homosexuals also not like me because I say that's wrong? It's not going to lead to happiness. It's not going to lead to joy. It's not going to lead to the purpose for which you are created. Will they like me because I say it? We have a church in Fort Worth right next to our church. It's the church in Fort Worth for all the homosexual community. It's always packed out. And they seem to go in two by two. But I never curse that church. I don't have to curse it. I bless it. Why? Because I want them to know Jesus Christ. Did you know that I personally saved the number one, yeah, they have a kind of a pecking order, homosexual in Fort Worth years ago. His name was Kenny. And Kenny was the top homosexual. And he was the masculine muscle building type of guy, not the feminine side. And so his sister happened to be in my church one day and she mentioned that. She said, yeah, you know, my brother is a homosexual. I said, oh, cool. Have him call me. He said, he'll never come to church. I said, yes, he will. Just tell him. Pastor Jim wants to see him. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. He's not going to do it. I said, I know. Tell him to call me. He will come. He did come. 10 minutes later, he repented. I told him what to do with his mother, what to do with his father. Went home, did exactly that. And before he died, he told the whole homosexual community in Fort Worth, I want you to go to this church. My casket is going to be there. And I want him to preach the gospel to you of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the biggest crowd we've ever had. They were not only packed out all the your pews, you know, 150 or whatever, but they were four deep lined up, literally. All over, not just along the walls and the back and everything, but everywhere. In other words, the whole community was there, and I got to preach the gospel to them. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. Can you see how powerful the kingdom of God is? You have no idea who you are, because you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. How many know the world? The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. You have to be fearless. You have to not be afraid of being hated, killed, and whatever. Fearless. I mean, if you are, perfect love casts out all fear. If you're a lover of Al-Qaeda, if you're a lover of homosexuality, if you're a lover of people everywhere, because it says in the Bible, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Luke 2:14. Peace on earth. God actually wants peace. We're a religion of peace. We're not a religion of violence. We don't force anything that's good and right and true. We don't hate people because they don't believe like we believe. I know Christians used to, but that wasn't Christianity. That was something else. That was, you know, whenever you see violence with religion, you know it's not true. So we have peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. I don't care who they are. And America actually was founded on that idea that we should have not just Christians in charge, but we should have religious freedom for everybody. So everybody gets to worship a stick or, you know, take peyote or whatever they do, go for it. God bless you. Amen? I'm not trying to convert anybody. But I just tell them the truth. I'm blunt. I just go right to it. I don't apologize. Why? Because I was once a sinner. Is anybody here who used to be a sinner in your former life? Well, now you've been born again. You've been plugged into the outlet. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. How many know saints still sin, but that doesn't make you a sinner. It just makes you a saint that sins. How many know saints sin? I mean, if you want to see sin, go into any church. They're loaded with it. And they got good kind of sins. Christian sins, of course. Very nice sins. I hate you with the hatred of God. You know, but God doesn't hate. God doesn't hate. God is fun. Did you know God's a party God? Yeah. Every week. Every week. He gave a party for his Jewish people. Remember that? Sabbath. And one day, don't work. holiday, enter into my rest, shalom. But it also means naham. No more labor. Cease from your labors. Just as God ceased from his on the first day of the week. And he gave that to all mankind. It wasn't just Jewish. Actually, all mankind. If you read the Babylonians, read what really happened in history, you'll find out that all men celebrated that originally. But anyway, he gave him a day off each week. But not only that, every month. Not only that, three times a year he had big festivals. Not only that, some of them were, you know, six, seven, eight, nine even days long. And I'm going to Israel in another month, and we're going right at that time. The big party, the big festival. They call it Sukkot. That means it's the festival of booths or the festival of the harvest. It's the big harvest time in the fall, September. You're going. You're going. Lots of people are going. A couple dozen people. Now, God is good. God is good. But I want to go during a party time because I'm into parties. Is anybody else into parties?
Yes.
That's not in the flesh. That's actually in the spirit. We should have a lot of thank you, Jesus type of stuff. Hallelujah. We have a woman in our church who's a former Muslim from Indonesia. And she is so bold now that she's been plugged into Jesus. And she's a Christian. And so her whole family is not royalty, but very high up in the whole Indonesian scene. Anyway, she goes there and she married one of our guys and then came over here. And so the other day, they had a big Muslim gathering of all the Indonesians in Fort Worth, Dallas probably. Anyway, big one. And they started praising Allah. And so she started praising Jesus right in the middle of them. She just raised her hands like we do, you know, just raised her hand. Hallelujah, Jesus! And they were like, don't do that. But the head person said, no, she's one of us. She can do what she wants. She wants to praise Jesus, let her.
Amen.
Isn't that a miracle?
Amen.
But anyway, you can't stop her anyway. This woman is unstoppable. See, and she's a karate expert and everything else. She is awesome. She will not apologize for Jesus at all. And at work, she just tells everybody that comes in, you know Jesus? Get those demons out of you. And she just... And her boss, who's Jewish, she works for a Jewish man, and he has a big, you know, all these rent places that rent out things like your husband does. And they sell all that stuff and whatever to people. And she just... Anybody that comes in, you look sad. Can I pray for you? And she's right away, whatever. Oh, don't worry, you didn't pay. You know, we'll take care of it. And she runs the whole... He doesn't even do anything. He just shows up, but he doesn't do a thing because she runs the whole business. Smart as can be and honest as can be. Incredibly trustworthy. That's Jesus. That's powerful. That's God. I mean, no, there's nothing too big for us. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. You can go anywhere in the world. Yeah, I do. I like to go anywhere in the world. To India, China, Russia, wherever. Wherever it's bad, wherever it's horrible, all over Africa, everywhere. Meet with presidents, one-on-one. Meet with top businessmen. I mean top, top. Meet with people that sweep the streets. The bottom, the bottom. What's the difference? I mean, no, God's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't make any difference. Once Mobutu, who was the president of the Congo, but they called it Zaire in those days. And Peggy and I have been all over the world with him. But once he and his wife and his family, he was driving me in, what was the place? Monaco? Yeah, Monaco. He has palaces everywhere. And he was yelling at his driver. So when we got out of the car, I walked up to the driver that he was yelling at. And I shook his hand and bowed to him. It's like that. And it humbled Mobutu. He was like, oh my God, this pastor is shaming me because I just yelled at that guy. I have to prove to Pastor Jim that I am a good Christian. And so sometime later, he stopped a whole ship of state. He has a big boat on the Congo River. and stopped the whole thing. I don't know if Peggy was there, but I was there anyway. And he saw a guy in a canoe on the Congo River. And he was a horrible president, by the way. But anyway, he stopped this canoe, stopped his big ship to this canoe and brought down a whole case of orange drink or something or other, took it down to him, and he turned to me and he said, "You see, I am a good Christian." Don't you think that's funny? I think it's funny. I think it's great. And I commended him for it. He was a Roman Catholic. And I told him, "Vous n'êtes pas chrétien. You are not a Christian. Vous êtes catholique." Man, but I knew he was afraid of dying. And I knew he was worried. He didn't die, he's dead. But I told him, "If you will accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll clean your face. I'll cleanse your face." This is the president of a country, you know, a multi-billionaire, owned 1/10 of Texas, real estate and everything else. He'd come into Highland Park, he'd come into, you know, the village there, and he'd buy the whole store, whatever he'd buy, cash in suitcases with some of his guys. He'd just buy the whole store. "I like that shirt right there. Give me all that you have." And then he'd buy all the belts and whatever else to give to all of his people to show that he was a good man. He is funny. But, you know what? I believe that man could be in heaven today because I shared the gospel with him. I told him, "You know, the CIA did not put you in power. God did. And he expects you then to account to him." He took me to his mother's funeral. I'm just telling you all this to tell you, as a Christian, you can have fun in this world. And you don't have to be anybody. And people wanted to kill me. I mean, there are people that they've written French books about me and so on to kill me off and whatever. Because they didn't know who I was. The Jesuits hated me. They had to sit at the same table with me. And they're trying to figure out how to kill this guy. Because he's getting a hold of this president. And this president's Catholic. And he tells me one day, he said, "You know, I protect you." I said, "No, you don't. No, you don't. No, no, no. I protect you. People want to do you harm. You don't protect me. God in heaven is the one that sent me here to protect you." So I always felt I was richer than he was. Now, as a Christian, the 14th chapter of John says this: "Let not your hearts be troubled." Everybody's heart needs to have Jesus plugged in. You need to be plugged into Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody's heart. Because everybody's troubled.
Yes.
Remember how he said, "Blessed are the poor." How many know that's not a happy thing? "Blessed are those that mourn." That's not a happy thing. "Blessed are men when they revile you and speak evil against you." And so on. Those are not happy things. But his whole message was on happiness. Why? Because that's what God wants. He wants you to worship God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that leads to happiness. And that leads to more worship and more love and so on. And he wants to put peace on earth, goodwill to men, all over this earth. And we're the ones he's using. Can you see his wisdom? Can you see why he'd use us? Yeah!
Amen.
Can you see how God would pick people that were intelligent and gorgeous like we are, wondrous? But if you're plugged in, this is good news for anybody. That's why I go everywhere. Everywhere. I love to go into the worst places. 500 Muslims in Badagry, Nigeria, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. First time they ever came to a church and the first time they ever heard the gospel. And all 500 wanted to receive Jesus Christ. I said to them, you can't just hear a sermon and then just receive Jesus Christ. So I want to explain to you, this has to be from the heart. It has to be heartfelt. And I was telling them afterward, you know, then don't just raise your hand. And so I said, "Now, how many of you are serious about this?" They all raised their hands. And I said, "No, Let me explain this. This is not just a human thing that you do this, because you're going to be in trouble. You can be killed after this. This is a serious business. So just how many now? They all raised their hand again. So then I said, okay. So the pastor said, they want you to pray for him. I said, okay, I'll best pray for him. This was about 10 o'clock. And then he said, no, they want you to pray for him individually and give him a prophecy. I said, that's ridiculous, because then we'd be here till 2 in the morning. So at 2 in the morning, I left because I had to pray over every one of them. So who knows what happened to them? All I'm trying to tell you is the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Just get plugged into Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because Jesus was plugged in. Because he was the comforter from God, his comforter. God was his comforter. Now I know Jesus is God. But nevertheless, even though Jesus is God, so is the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, who is God and the God of all comfort, the Father of all comfort, also then was a comforter. And then he said, in the 16th verse, he said, and the God of all comfort, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm one, the Father's one. Now I'm going to send the third one. So the comforter sends the comforter who will send the comforter. So the Father sent the Son who will send the Spirit. So you now have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Amen. That same light, that same joy, that same peace, that same eternal life. So that you can share that with other people without even words. You don't even need to say anything. Did you know that your light is so bright that men, just when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father. Your Father. Your Father. Amen. Which art in heaven. Why? Because they'll know you couldn't do what you just did. So that must be God. And nobody could say the words you just said. That must be God. Because their flesh is totally opposed to you. When you teach the truth to people, the flesh reacts. Amen? When you teach the truth to people, the flesh doesn't like it. It wants the sin. I know. Every word in the Bible actually makes you not want to not sin, but it makes you want to sin. He designed it that way. And then he could afflict you because you didn't do what was right. And then he could show mercy to you when you said you're sorry. And then when you changed your mind and you repented, that is, you comforted yourself because God is a loving Father and not an angry judge. And he never has been an angry judge and he never will be an angry judge, because he's not an angry judge. He's a loving Father and he always has been. And is the only one that's the true and living God. So another comforter I will send to you. As soon as I am killed, as soon as I die, then I'll resurrect again. And then I'll, ascend into heaven. And then I'll sit down at the right hand of the Father. I'll send you the Holy Ghost. I'll send you the Spirit, who's a comforter, who will naham, change your mind, release you, set you free, put you at peace, put you at rest. No more labor. No more work. You don't do anything. The lamp doesn't do anything. It's the electricity that comes out of that plug. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Spirit. So every one of you is a Christian. That's your identity. Because you're a new man in Christ. You're not you anymore. Say it. I'm not me. You are a new man in Christ. You're a worshiper of the living God. And a lover of your neighbor, even if you're not doing it. Who you are is not what you do. The fact that you're not doing it doesn't mean anything. That's who you are. You were created in the image and likeness of God. Now he has recreated you in the image and likeness of God. He didn't change his mind. He just fulfilled it. That's why Christ came to comfort you, so that then he could send you the comforter, so that the comforter could live through you and change this world. But you don't do it. You don't. If you had any sweat in you, you would never get into heaven. God doesn't like sweat. He doesn't like labor. He doesn't like work. He likes people that are lazy. I feel there's two or three here. I don't know. I could be wrong. I just feel that there's several people here that have a lazy streak in them. Does anybody want to share your hand? Yeah. I mean, there's just something about us that doesn't like to work and labor and think and work it out and try to be good, try to be decent, try to be kind and all that stuff. There's just people here, even though you're born again. I mean, no, the born again people still sin. Born again people act just like unborn again people. I love it. That keeps you humble, by the way. That reminds you every day that you need to be plugged in. And every day you need to confess your sins. Not because you're not a Christian. You're going to heaven. That's not the issue. The issue is you didn't get heaven to anybody else. You took it all, and then you're like the Dead Sea. You didn't put anything out. So he wants you to take it in like the Galilee. The Sea of Galilee takes the Jordan River into it, and then it pours it out of it, and that's where we're going to be baptized, right there. Living water. So you're alive today. You're happy today. You're a lover today. You're already a worshiper of the living God. You just have to know who you are. And if you remind yourself of who you are, then you'll actually find yourself doing who you really are. Which is really Christ in you doing it. The Father who dwells in me doeth the works, Jesus said. So even Jesus never did a good work. Not when he was on the earth. Jesus never did a good work. Never did anything. Why do you call me good? He said. It's the Father who dwells in me that doeth the work. I don't do anything. I just know who I am. I'm his son. He loves me. I just know that. The Father himself loveth you. The Father himself loveth you. Did you know that the love of God will transform this world? No pressure. No work. No labor. We have a God. And you were created not to be God, but to be like God by not being God. By not forcing and controlling and dominating and trying to understand and trying to get ahead and try to overcome all your mourning and your problems and your afflictions and so on. Don't leave them alone. Let God be true. Let God take care of all that. Amen. He's only looking for people that have been hurt, afflicted, wounded. That's what he wants. He just wants, because if you don't have the bad news, you don't need a physician. But if you know you're hurting, you need to have a physician. If you know you're hurting, you got to do something about it. Because you were not created to hurt. You were created to be happy all the time, be blessed inwardly, outwardly, in every single way. So how many here are full of joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many here have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and
self-control?
You have all those. That's who you are. You didn't do it. He recreated you to do it, and he didn't even ask your permission. He didn't say, you know, hey, if you want it, you don't have to even choose it. You just simply go, go for it, Jesus. You know, it says in here, you want to do all this stuff and make do it. Just do it while I'm sleeping or something, because I probably try to cooperate otherwise. And I bet I could ruin anything you can do. And so God doesn't like you putting your signature on it, you know. He likes to get all the glory. Amen. You know why? Because he wants to give you the glory. All the glory that he gets, he doesn't need it. He has it anyway. He just wants to get it so he can give it back to you. As soon as you give him all the glory, he gives it right back to you. And as soon as he glorifies you, give it right back to him. It just keeps going. It's just glorious, 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 glorious. Is everybody here happy?
Amen.
All the time?
Amen.
Yeah. Why? Everything's going my way. Zip-a-dee-doo-da. Zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, that's the truth. Everything is going your way. I don't care about all the dark stuff that's going on in the world. It's getting to get worse, by the way. But really, it's always been that way. It's just coming out. They're just pulling out all the stops right now to test you. They're not being tested. They're not even being judged. God is testing you to see whether you actually believe God is good. Not that you're good. He doesn't need to see that you're good. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. But what does that mean? Naham. Bless yourself. Comfort yourself. Be released. Be free. Relax. Rest. Be yourself. How many know that if any good comes out of you, it'd be God? And if anything happens, if you're actually mature, and when that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds on the last day, you know what? You're going to get a new, not heart, you already have a new heart, but you'll get a new soul and a new body. Because this soul that we have now has to die daily. Crucify the flesh every day. Take up your cross every day. You know, every day. Every day you have to realize, I think I'm still who I used to be. No, you're not. Just because you don't act well doesn't mean you aren't God's son, God's daughter, God's beloved. Right? So, and you can be anything. It isn't because you're worthwhile. He doesn't love people that are worthwhile. He loves people that are worthless. If I say worthless, that doesn't sound like worthless. So I could say it that way. You're worthless. You don't have any worth apart from him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. Well, you have him because he came. You didn't go up. You didn't climb Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. No, you're not. You couldn't even get to rung 7. you're not getting there. He came down. You didn't go up.
That's right.
Jesus was sent down by the Father to comfort us, to give us this freedom, this joy, this unspeakable glorious joy, so that you can not only be looking like God, but actually acting like God in this earth today, right now. You are a Christian filled with the Spirit of the living God. I tell you, it's exciting.
Hallelujah.
I hope you were blessed today.
Amen.
I hope you were encouraged. Let's have 2 testimonies. And maybe 3 if it's really good. We'll have 2. Who wants to be first?
I'm comforted.
You're comforted. That's a good word. Number 2. Who would like to be 2? Yes. Jacob.
I have a testimony.
Forget it, Jacob. You don't talk.
Did you say Jacob?
Yeah.
Did you know that I've been called that before? No.
Praise God.
So just Jacob.
The Holy Spirit obviously put... humbled little Jacob, and just you dominate, take over. Go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead, speak. Jack's going to tell us. Huh?
I always like coming here because I always get reminded.
Wow. It's powerful. Powerful, Jacob. Jack, now. A humbled Jack.
God is so good. My mother's been in serious condition. And she's 92. She's got COPD and congestive heart. She was in an accident, broke ribs, went to pneumonia, went to the hospital, went to ICU. Didn't look good. Didn't look good at all. We were talking hospice a couple of days ago. And she turned the corner.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pray. A lot of people pray. Jim and I pray. A lot of people pray. And she turned the corner, and it's amazing.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Glory! Woo! I don't want her to slide down a long hill.
Amen.
You know, to be with the Lord. I want it to be.
That's a miracle.
Amen.
You know, go to sleep and wake up there. You know.
Thank yeah.
you, Jesus. And that's what we ask for. So I believe that will happen.
Amen. Jack.
That way, not this other garbage that, you know, is part of this world.
That's powerful.
And it's amazing.
Jack.
Is it Ann?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That is impossible. That is impossible. That is not even possible. That is God. That's a God thing. God loves to do that. You know he does the impossible.
Amen.
We can only do the possible. But he can do the impossible. That's what's wonderful. That's comforting. That's peaceful. That's freedom. That's being loose. That's being set free in this world of darkness.
Hallelujah.
You have to have a living God when you have the kind of world we live in.
Amen.
You need him.
Yes.
You need him because you're in a more desperate situation than you realize. And right now, because it's almost over, the enemy has to pull out all the stops.
Amen.
So if you think things are weird and strange today, it's only because the storm always comes just before the dawn. And so there's a storm brewing. But let them do it. It's their day. They got it. It's the time of the Gentiles still. And it'll get worse. It's going to get worse. But so what? We're made for tough things. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
The rest will quit. The lukewarm can't go anywhere. But we're just getting started. We're
Hallelujah.
Having a ball.
Amen.
Woo!
Thank you.
And Dallas. I believe Dallas is the place where it's
Amen.
This is where it's going to be. Right here. This is the place where I believe God is working in a unique way. I mean, even our brother came all the way up from the Woodlands or something.
Yes.
You know, today. Now that shows you something good's going on here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Amen.
It's powerful. The best has been saved to the last. The best wine has not yet been served.
Amen.
So don't worry about all the things that are going on. Stop it. Stop reading all that stuff, meditating on all that. Just know that God is good. And he's the one that began a good work. He's the one that will finish the good work. You don't have to help him. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be nice. You don't have to be good. I know you won't be anyway. But you don't have to even try. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Just be what you are. Relax right now.
Have a good time. Laugh. Whatever the devil is saying to you, forget it. He is a liar. He's just lying. He's trying to discourage you because he's afraid he's going to lose. But he's going to lose because he's already lost. And Jesus can never lose. He's already won a long time ago. And so God set his king on Mount Zion long time ago. And that's why God was going back to that very spot. And the best has been saved. The best has been saved. It's reserved. It's reserved. God has it behind his back. He hasn't even shown it yet. But you and I are experiencing it on a daily basis. But he's going to show some things that will just blow everybody's mind. And they will then know. And every knee will bow. And every tongue confess.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is
Lord. Hallelujah!
Doesn't mean they'll become Christians. It just means they'll go, those guys were right. There really is a Jesus. There he is. And so, but we still have a chance even to win some of those at the last minute. So let's get a big harvest for God. How do we do it? Yeah, you don't do it. You just do what God says. Works out that way. Just get plugged in. You are a worshiper. You're not going to become one. You are a worshiper of living God, and you do love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because you're dead to yourself and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus.